It wasn't false. Yes, I got good grades, but only because I studied as if my life depended on getting into Yale. I was average, with an above-average ambition to break out of my neighborhood. Blankets and bikinis covered the sand. Kids and gulls screamed. We lugged the coolers up and down the beach. Ice cream here! Get your ice cream here! The heat in the sand went through my flip-flops. By noon, I had $500 in my pocket. Yale money, if I got in. My grades and scores put me at the borderline. Always the borderline. We restocked the coolers, but by the time we got back to the beach, another hawker team was working our territory. We were taller, they were wider. They wore trendy shades and went shirtless and slick with Hawaiian Tropic. John and I wore t-shirts, hats, and sunscreen. We were dark anyway, the typical Woodhull mix, Irish and Italian. We both had black hair, but my mom is Northern Italian, and my eyes are blue. John's dad was from the South, Sicilian, and John's eyes were black. He squinted at the muscle heads, then at me. "Breathe," he said. "You're officially done for the day," the bigger one said. "Dude, you deaf?" John edged me back. "We'll make more money at Sully's anyway," he said. I turned east towards Sully's Inn and the private beach where we could hawk our sugar for twice as much. "Slow it down," John said. "Matt." "What?" "Like we're walking underwater, right? Nice and easy." "You see me running?" I said. "Inside you are," John said. The coolers weighed 60 pounds each. We stopped to catch our breath. A beat-up gull swooped in and pecked at a cigarette filter. Broken mussel shells spiked the beach. A mile later, the sand smoothed out, combed clean and white. Painted hand fans waved like the wings of heat-doped butterflies. We couldn't be calling out like vendors working the cheap seats. We walked along the rows of chaise lounges and waited to be summoned. Back at the public beach, the bathing suits were hot pink and yellow. At Sully's, the bikinis were black. The women wore wide-brim white hats, except for this one girl, down by the water. Her dreadlocks dropped to her waist. She dressed them with light blue beads. She was tall, curvy, dark. Her smile was crooked in the most perfect way. Her eyes were the color of the ocean that day, the lightest green. She was so pretty I stopped walking. I wiped the sweat from my eyes and pretended the heat was making me dizzy. She was helping this little kid build a simple sandcastle, fast, between when the waves rolled up the shore. It was a turret, really, a flipped sand bucket, and then a flipped Dixie cup on top of that. The wind blew their laughter my way. "Hurry," the girl said. She helped the kid put a shell on top of the castle just before the wave destroyed it. She and the little boy screamed. "It's just completely gone," the kid said. The girl smoothed his hair. "That's why you have to remember it. Then it lives forever." My phone buzzed. I'm by the pool, out of coke. I found John and restocked him, and we split up to cover the beach. I looked back to the shoreline for the girl, but she was gone. "I'm over here," she called out. She was sitting with a girl and a guy. The other girl was pretty too, but thinner and blonde. The guy was blonde too, a giant with a giant smile. I figured they were my age, maybe a little older.